The Big Bellied Yogi, where you don't need to be young, skinny, white, beautiful, or bendy to enjoy yoga, because yoga really is for everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Big Bellied Yogi. I'm Emma Paulette, I'm your host, and I am a yoga teacher with a bigger belly. And so I'm on a mission to sort of help people understand that yoga really is for everybody, even if it doesn't appear that way, based on what we see in the media. And that's a little bit more about what I wanted to talk about today, is kind of how the representation of yoga, especially Western yoga in the Western world, makes it really inaccessible for people, or makes people believe it's inaccessible for them. And so I want to bust a few of those myths, give you some resources today to kind of help you understand that you can do yoga. And even if you feel like you can't do the yoga you see, or even if you feel like your body's not capable of yoga, there are elements of yoga that you can do anytime. And I'll talk about that more in another episode, but I'm referring to the eight limbs of yoga that I talked about in our first episode. But there are many ways to practice, and there are many role models out there. And I want to sort of help you understand that yoga is such an amazing practice for body positivity and to feel more secure and more satisfied with your body and all those wonderful things. So shall we get started? Let's. I saw a few months ago on Instagram an ad, and it was from a really famous spiritual kind of online subscription thing that allows you to practice yoga as one of the things that you do if you sign up to their subscription. And this ad on Facebook was advertising something called Tabata Yoga. Now, if you're not familiar with Tabata, Tabata is something that's done in the fitness industry, and it's a timing thing. So you do a certain number of minutes of one thing and a certain number of minutes of another. And from what I can remember, I did study this when I did personal training, but it's not my style. But apparently it's quite good at fat loss. So this Tabata yoga was actually saying that try this style of yoga and you'll lose weight. And it made my blood boil. And it made my blood boil for two reasons. One is there's so much out there for weight loss. There's so much out there, you know, that is to do with diet culture and making us feel like shit if we don't have a perfect looking body. And I just thought, why can't yoga be something sacred and precious that doesn't buy into all that diet culture bullshit? That was my first thought. And my second thought was, how frigging rude. Like, you're completely dismissing yoga's roots when you boil yoga down to a few minutes of hardcore exercise. You are really dismissing the roots of yoga, the history of yoga, the spiritual side of yoga, and all about, you know, all that side of things that is so rich and so powerful and so important to the practice of yoga. Now, I am not from India or Southeast Asia. I am not from a part of the world that is where yoga came from. I'm a Western white woman practicing yoga, right? And I don't have the same connection to the history and the roots of yoga that, you know, women from Southeast Asia, particularly India and that heritage, people from that heritage have. And it's not my place to speak for them. And I really hope at some stage on this podcast, I can get a guest on that's a lot more knowledgeable about this side of things than I am, to really talk about how Western yoga dismisses yoga's roots and how rich and how much of a gift that side of yoga is. And I really want to delve into that one day. But as I said, it's not my place to speak for those people. So I just want to send you some resources. You can see in my show notes or go to the website emmapaulette.com/podcast/ep2 and you'll get access to these people who I really recommend. So the first one is Susanna Barkataki. And she has written books about this. She does, you know, Instagram posts every day about this, and she has a wealth of knowledge, and she has Southeast Asian heritage, and she really knows what she's talking about. So I highly recommend following her. I also recommend following Fajal Yoga, and she is a woman from Southeast Asian heritage, and she co-hosted an amazing podcast, which kind of inspired this podcast, called Yoga is Dead. And she is a fantastic person to follow as well, and she's great to listen to on Yoga is Dead. So I will link up all of those people to talk about, you know, how things like Tabata yoga dismisses the roots of yoga. So today's episode, I want to focus on sort of the weight loss side of yoga, the diet culture side of yoga, because that's really something I've been passionate about for years and something that I would say I'm a bit of an expert in. All right. So if you don't know what diet culture is, diet culture is the not so invisible forces that make us believe that it's healthier and more attractive to be thin. Now, I just want to bust a little bit of a myth here. It's not necessarily healthier to be thin. You can be fat and healthy, and you can be thin and be sick. So although, you know, Western medicine would tell us that, you know, putting on weight is one of the worst things you can do for your health, it's not exactly true. There's no kind of causation studies really that are done. There's lots of correlation. You know, if you're bigger, you might have this, you might be more likely to get this thing, but that doesn't mean that being bigger is the cause of that thing. I could go on for hours about this, but it can be things like people in larger bodies may not get access to the same type of healthcare. They may get dismissed more quickly because they, you know, doctors say just go on a diet, rather than actually listening to what the problem is. And there's discrimination. Sometimes people with larger bodies can't get good jobs, and so they have less money, and then they're less able to afford, good quality food. There's lots going on there. So just want you to remember that just because someone has a larger body does not mean they're not healthy, and just because someone has a thin body does not mean that they are healthy. The second thing about diet culture is making us believe that you're more attractive if you're thin. Now, I think you know deep down inside that is a complete societal construct. It's not true. It's not innately true. You know, throughout thousands of years of culture, there are, you know, statues of women that are bigger, or, you know, in the days where people like Marilyn Monroe were popular. Although, let's be honest, Marilyn Monroe wasn't that big, but she was bigger than some of her contemporaries. And, you know, we've all met people in larger bodies who are just beautiful. And if I'm going to be, I guess, a bit rude, we've all met people in thinner bodies who aren't. So again, I just want you to remember that diet culture is kind of created by the patriarchy. It's created by capitalism. It's all these things to make us feel like we're not good enough the way we are. We need to be a certain way to be healthier and more attractive and therefore more worthy. And so we spend all this money and do all these things to try and make ourselves thinner. Just want you to know you are an amazing person right now, and you don't need to look any different to be worthy. You are always worthy. Right, got off my diet culture kind of soapbox. But I just want to talk about, how does diet culture show up in Western yoga? The first thing is that representation of yoga in the media. And, you know, I'm thinking mostly social media, but I also think about, you know, I've got tons of yoga books, and the majority of them, until I started looking for alternatives, the majority of them have, and same with Instagram, have thin, white, bendy bodies in the photos. So it's kind of like fashion photos, isn't it? It's like, you know, when you see those perfect fashion photos and not a hair out of place, the makeup's perfect, the woman's thin, you know, no one's shirt's untucked, there's nothing, you know, that's not perfect about the photos. It's the same in yoga, right? So we see these perfect examples of yoga. We see down dogs where both heels are always pressed in the floor with straight knees. We see the fact that you can do a forward fold and put your head on your knees. Well, if you're like me with a big belly, you can't do that. And you're never going to be able to do that because your belly gets in the way, right? And so these pictures really just start to show us that unless you look like that, you can't do yoga. That's, you know, it's reasonable for people to look at these photos and think that yoga's not for them because they don't look like that. The other thing that diet culture has done is hijacked yoga for these weight loss kind of things, for Tabata yoga, or, you know, you will look a certain way if you do yoga in a certain way. Couple of things here. You are not guaranteed to look a certain way no matter what diet or exercise program you go on, because your body is your body and you can't change the way your bones are. You can't change the way you're programmed to look. You can't change your genetics. Those things are never going to change. So like any weight loss program, a yoga-based weight loss program is feeding you lies because you can only look a certain way based on what your body is capable of doing, right? Whether that's the shape it can be, or if you've been on tons of diets, it means you're less likely to be able to lose weight the next time and the next time and the next time. So there's lots of factors about why your body may or may not be able to lose weight. But the other thing, the flip side, which I touched on before, is that when we see these Tabata weight loss yoga programs, they are completely dismissing the spiritual aspects of yoga. And as I mentioned last week, and as I'll mention in a future episode, there's 8 parts to yoga, and that physical aspect of yoga is only one part of it. So being a better person, you know, being kind to others, being kind to yourself, you know, taking care of your body, meditation, you know, breath work, all these things are kind of dismissed when we're focused only on the asana or only on the poses of yoga. So how does this diet culture approach to yoga and this westernization of yoga, which includes diet culture, affect people? As I've said, it makes people think that they don't have the body to even try. Why should I try and do yoga? I'm never going to be able to do that. My body gets in the way. I'm not thin. I'm too heavy. All those kind of things. And so there's a whole huge part of the population who's never even going to try yoga because they believe they don't have the body for it. The other thing that's to do with kind of the fashion side of yoga is a lot of people feel like they don't have the equipment for it. There's so many, exercise gear companies out there that don't even make yoga clothes for larger bodies. And I want you to know, you can do yoga in your pajamas. You can do yoga in your work clothes. You can do yoga nude if you want at home. Like, you don't have to wear pretty yoga clothes to be a proper yogi. That's totally not part of what's required, right? So, but if you looked at all these pictures on Instagram or social media, or in books about yoga, or, you know, if there's an article in the news about yoga, you would think that you're supposed to have a perfectly coordinating outfit to be a yogi. And the other thing that is affected by this idea that yoga is, all about the way we look and weight loss and all that sort of thing, is, as I said, it ignores yoga spirituality and it misrepresents what yoga truly is. So people might start a yoga program thinking that they're getting like hardcore dietary stuff, like not dietary stuff, hardcore gym, you know, I'm going to lose weight stuff. And then actually get some spiritual stuff and think, well, that's not for me. Or vice versa. People might be intrigued about the spiritual side of yoga and rock up to a class that's all about Tabata weight loss and be completely confused. So it affects people's experiences and their ability to tap into the entire system that is yoga. But I do want to say there is good news. So in 2018, there was a study done and it said that 16.2% of young adults are practicing at least 30 minutes of yoga every week. And I think that's fantastic. That's a big percentage of the population. And the people that are practicing yoga have higher levels of body satisfaction. And when they compared people that started yoga with a bad body image and compared them to people who didn't ever do yoga, they saw that practicing yoga does increase their body satisfaction. So, you know, you might think that some people start yoga because they already have a high body image and they see themselves reflected in the pictures in the media. But of course, as I said, there's a whole bunch of people who don't see that and don't see their bodies reflected and may think, oh, my body's not good enough for yoga. I need to lose weight before I can start or something like that. But it just shows you that when you do practice yoga, you become more satisfied with your body. Because it's you start to realize it's not just what your body looks like, it's what your body can do. And it's about, you know, being mindful and in the present moment. And in the present moment, we don't have diet culture telling us we're shit. In the present moment, we are just ourselves without any other outside influences. And that's part of what makes yoga so special. So there is good news. And as I mentioned, there are some really incredible examples of people who are making yoga accessible by just showing up as themselves. So the first person I think about is Jessamyn Stanley, and she is an American woman. She is a woman of color. She's an African American. I think that's how she would identify. And if I get that wrong, I'm sorry. She is a queer woman and she is a woman in a large body. She's got it all going on and she is getting more and more famous. She shows you how yoga is accessible to all bodies. She shows you how incredible bodies are. She's written a book and she's got a new book coming out shortly. So much to learn from Jessamyn Stanley. So I will definitely link to her in the show notes. There's also an amazing book that I absolutely love, but sadly, the author, Sarah Harry, she passed away, I think, late last year. She was an Australian woman who wrote a book called Fat Yoga. And she taught about how yoga is available for fat bodies and how to modify yoga for people with larger bodies. And that's definitely a go-to book for me, having a big belly. As I said, forward folds aren't very accessible to me, but it sort of teaches me how I can access certain elements of yoga that I would not normally be able to do if I did it the way it looks like it's supposed to on Instagram. So we really miss Sarah Harry. She brought so much to the idea that yoga is for everybody, but at least she has left this beautiful book that you can read called Fat Yoga. Again, I'll link to that. And the most recent book that I've read that I just absolutely love is called Accessible Yoga by Yavana Heyman. And his book is incredible because it teaches how yoga is possible for many, many, many bodies. There's pictures of people in wheelchairs and all sorts in this book and how yoga is not about having the perfect shape. It's really about the energy that you bring to yoga. So even if you can't do a pose, you can modify it or even think about doing it and still get some of that beautiful energy that you get from practicing the yoga poses, the yoga asana. So that book is just amazing. So I just wanted to leave you on this high note to say there are some amazing role models out there. I hope that, you know, I'm one of them. There's a video that I've created for this podcast so that you can practice a little bit of yoga at home. You can go to emmapaulette.com/podcast/ep2. And currently I have a bit of a wrist injury. I've created this practice so you don't have to use your wrists. I know a lot of people have wrist injuries. So hopefully this practice is available for most people. Have a go. Let me know what you think in the comments at my website. And I really look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow me on Instagram at emma.paulette and follow the podcast on Spotify.